everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn. We're going to get out of here before midnight, for sure, unless we get real stupid with this podcast, and we're not going to get stupid with this podcast. I'm here with Brett Dawson.
I am here.
I'm here with Barry Trammell.
Hi, gentlemen.
We are courtside.
Barry's a little distracted. He's, you know, he's checking out his phone.
Checking, like, see what time it is.
Like millennials
see
do.
See if we're going to get out at 12.
For sure getting out before 12. The need to make a sequel, and there might actually be a sequel out there to this movie that might have went straight to DVD. The famous movie How Stella Got Her Groove Back. It was a book by Toni Morrison. Angela Bassett was the lead character in that movie.
I saw the movie.
Barry's seen it. In the sequel, LeBron James can play Stella, or the Cavs in general can play Stella, because the Cavs seem to have gotten their groove back.
Stella got her groove back by surrounding herself with more youth.
That's what Stella did in the movie. She went to Jamaica.
That's what I said.
And found
I didn't say LeBron. I said Stella.
That is not the analogy I would have made. By the way, the Cavaliers beat the Thunder 120-112.
Yeah. By the way,
I would have my movie sequel. I might have said they're two Cavs, too furious. They're so much faster and more furiouser.
They're faster
and even furiouser.
But LeBron at the trade deadline was basically. It was like Stella going to the islands and meeting Tay Diggs. LeBron got his Tay Diggs.
Didn't LeBron go off to the islands when you're in Miami, just like chill out for a week?
He just took a break. Yeah, I'm going to just chill.
LeBron gets his groove back. It's scary for everybody else. And this is scary for
the East.
Yeah.
The East, for sure.
Yeah, I'm not. If I'm the Warriors, I'm not. Whatever.
Yeah, if I'm Houston, I'm.
Nah.
I mean, they could. Okay, Houston's got to get past them. You think Cleveland would beat Houston?
Cleveland would beat Houston.
Really?
Cleveland beat Houston. I don't know if Houston gets past Oklahoma City if they played. I'm not a big believer.
Hello,
this is the second podcast in a row.
Tell me
what Houston's ever done in the postseason. Never done anything.
Beating the Thunder last year. Different teams.
All of a sudden they get Chris Paul and you're just.
Chris Paul, who, next time he makes the Western Finals, they're going to literally throw a parade.
Who's been farther in the playoffs, Chris Paul or Cliff Paul? Dang.
Cliff Paul retired.
I hope Darnell Mayberry is listening to this.
Surely.
And how Barry and I have disparaged Chris Paul in the past 30 seconds. Darnell, I'm sorry. Let's get back to the Thunder.
We weren't on the Thunder. We were on the Cavs.
Well,
and the Cavs,
we're going to get to the Thunder.
The Cavs were fun. The Cavs came in here, and they looked like they were having fun. It's fun to talk about the Cavs having fun because they looked like they weren't having fun for about however long the season been going.
The last time the Thunder played them.
They didn't even have Kevin Love tonight.
Yeah.
And they
made 16 threes, and Kyle Korver didn't make any of them.
J.R. Smith was smoking in the first quarter. Rodney Hood.
By that, you mean he was making shots, let's be clear.
Rodney Hood smoking in the second quarter, and young LeBron James smoking in the third quarter.
Rodney Hood, never forget, guys, went two picks after Mitch McGarry.
Eric's going to point that out. That is like a contractual obligation for Eric every time Rodney Hood comes up on this podcast.
It's my favorite piece.
Or just
of,
in life.
It's my favorite piece of Thunder trivia ever. Even before he got traded, I was just like, man, Rodney Hood.
Well, that's better criticism than the ones that I sometimes get from people. I'm upset that the Thunder didn't take Devin Booker. Booker wasn't available when they picked.
I think they would have taken Devin Booker, although maybe some of that's revisionist. But I think there's a pretty good chance.
But people said they should have traded up to get him.
Oh, well.
So.
Yeah, but you can always say, what did you have at the time to trade? But, you know, Cameron Payne, Mitch McGarry.
Hey, they made some good picks, though.
Oh, look.
Stone Cold Steven Adams is pretty good tonight.
Steven Adams is the top probably 6 or 7 center in the league right now.
Here's the thing. Steven Adams was awesome tonight. He's really good. He set a franchise record with 12 offensive rebounds. And yet, as good as he was, we talk about these Cavs moves. The thing that Cavs – the Cavs got a lot at the deadline, and maybe the best thing they got is like an energized LeBron. LeBron got his groove back. That is the best addition, is LeBron is good. But they really lacked a guy like Larry Nance. And in the fourth quarter of a game where Steven Adams was dominating the offensive boards, Larry Nance got 6 offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter. Steven Adams said – tonight, just kind of lazy, couldn't stop him, just couldn't keep him off the boards, did a bad job in the fourth quarter. And I think that was a product of Adams having played a lot of minutes and Nance having these fresh legs and being a kind of guy that Cleveland really needed.
Yeah, 42 minutes for Steven Adams.
It's a lot of minutes.
That's a lot of minutes considering he's not coming around hanging on the wing for a lot of those minutes. He's going inside and popping people literally every possession,
and look,
offense and defense. And
frankly, you can't say the Thunder didn't need him all those 42 minutes. Yeah. He played a great game. He played a fantastic game.
He really did.
In an ideal world, he'd make more of his free throws, but he hit 60%. That's about where he is for the season.
Yeah, you can't ask for much more. And two of his misses were rebounded by the Thunder.
Yes.
Yeah. One by him.
Look, if the Thunder plays any semblance of three-point defense in the first half, and let's give the Cleveland credit. They made some really tough shots. See, LeBron was shooting from half court damn near. And when they started the fourth quarter, third quarter, where he had like 14 points in less than five minutes.
3 minutes, 14 seconds.
A little sequence where he and Paul George, that was fun. They were
LeBron was at it. LeBron was outstanding.
Yeah, he was amazing. Amazing tonight.
He was outstanding. And
like one of those games that reminds you, like, oh yeah, this like we, you know, we're all going to talk every year about like, oh, maybe Steph Curry's the MVP and maybe James Harden, like, but every now and then you get this reminder of like who the best player is, independent of all that stuff, and that guy's still the best player.
He was tremendous, and even when he didn't score, and it looked like the possession was dead, like, oh, they've got LeBron, shot clock winding down, you know, the defense has shifted towards him, they've got him stuck, and he just whips that cross court pass. Thompson sets the screen for George Hill in the corner, and it's like that was the play all along. It was wonderful. It was wonderful to watch.
I don't, you know, I'm sure I'm being disrespectful to like 100 great point guards in the history of the NBA. I don't feel like I've ever watched anybody who finds a corner shooter better than LeBron.
He's outstanding. His ability to make the extra pass is outstanding. Yeah. Their secondary guys tonight were doing a good job of penetrating and getting the ball out, kicking out, getting to LeBron. LeBron was making that extra pass, finding guys in the corner.
They all make that extra pass. I mean, they really move the ball. They do not look like a team that's been together for less than a week.
Look, I've said this. I don't know if I've said it on this podcast, and we're talking heavy cast. We'll get into the Thunder in a bit. But when they made that trade and they get Clarkson and Nance, we've seen the Lakers play over the past 3 or 4 years. They just look awful. They didn't have any leadership. A lot of young guys just kind of playing out the string. No commitment to defense. As soon as they made that trade, I was like, those guys are going to get better just by being around LeBron. And you see it with Clarkson and Nance. Just, it's readily apparent that those guys are good NBA players, but they just got into bad habits when they're in Lakerland, because Lakerland is full of guys that are 21, 22 years old that don't really have any commitment to defense.
Clarkson, in the last year, two, three, occasionally had good games against the Thunder, so you knew he could play. Until tonight, really, and maybe after the trade, reading stuff, I had no clue Larry Nance was this good. Zero clue. I had no idea he could impact a game like he's impacting it.
He was huge tonight. I mean, like, he didn't win him the game in the fourth quarter, but he went a long way. He was a big, big factor in that. They got 8 second chance points in the fourth quarter, and he was the only guy that got an offensive rebound for them in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think I read something from Zach Lowe at the trade deadline when he was dissecting this trade, and he said that he talked to an executive that said that Larry Nance does everything. There's not a minute he's on the court where he's thinking about anything other than what he needs to do to help his team win a game.
Yeah, that's right.
And when I read that, it reminded me of Steven Adams.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a minute that Steven Adams is on the court where he's thinking about statistics or trying to do anything for individual glory. It's all about how can I help my team best on this possession and within the context of this game, this sequence. And I think you see a lot of that from Larry Nance. Yeah. Obviously, Steven Adams is a better player than Larry Nance.
Sure.
But Larry Nance is a good player that was stuck on a bad team.
Yeah, and they both did that tonight. Both guys were just awesome at saving possessions, at creating extra possessions with the way they worked on the glass. Those guys were really, really good. It's funny to look at Cleveland and sort of say, like, they look like they've just got all this great chemistry offensively after two games, and you look at the Thunder, and it's like, still sometimes, like, it doesn't look the smoothest, and they've played so many games together.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a great advantage to having, like, a bunch of guys who know exactly what they're going to do, and they're all going to defer to LeBron, who's going to involve them. That is very different than trying to mesh three guys who have been big, big stars their whole careers.
And I know a lot of Thunder fans out there are probably irate that Cleveland, who flipped their entire roster, comes in here and puts up however many points they do against the Thunder, who did nothing at the trade deadline. It's part of the reason I just threw the question out to Billy Donovan in postgame about, you know, the process of the trade deadline, him, you know, them possibly getting to go get an extra shooter but not being able to go get that guy. Let's just assess this as it is. How do you guys feel after this game watching Cleveland do what they did? Granted, it's a one-game sample size against a Thunder team that didn't make any move at the deadline.
I feel the same way I felt before, really, which was that I just don't know what the moves were for the Thunder. I don't know what they had available to them, and so I don't, you know, it's hard to say, like, oh, they should have done this when I don't know what was out there to be done. Like, what could they have done? A lot of the guys we talked about, Rodney Hood was one of the guys that came up with them, right? And he goes here. Everybody talked about Avery Bradley. He didn't move at all. So what was L.A. asking for Avery Bradley? We just don't know those things. I mean, to me, that's sort of the key element here. Now, I think the buyout thing, I think Marco Bellinelli would have helped. You know, I think it would have been nice to go out and get just another guy who can shoot the ball. But, you know, those guys make choices. You're not operating in a bubble. There are other teams trying to get stuff done. You know, I do look at them, and I mean, tonight's a night where, and maybe it's because of that contrast with Cleveland, you do look at the Thunder and say, this isn't, they're not good enough. The Robertson injury has impacted their rotations. Their bench now is even worse than it was because one of those guys has to slide into the starting lineup. And you just sort of look and think, this team probably isn't good enough without Robertson to do, but we probably knew that already.
Avery Bradley, we sort of know, you know, there's great speculation on what the Clippers wanted, which was they wanted a first-round draft pick.
Everybody wanted a first-round
draft pick. Which the Thunder doesn't really have to trade.
Doesn't have one unless you want to give out 22, and that's
right. Or you want to give out Terrence Ferguson.
You're really
– And let's be clear that we don't know that Terrence Ferguson would have swung a deal there. We don't know
was
a thing.
Look, this is more so – this is, to me, more so what swings a deal when it comes to Bradley or Hood.
Well, we
– Look,
the thing about Hood is we know what swung the deal. They got Jay
Crowder.
Yeah,
they got Jay Crowder.
Now,
that's
the Thunder
exactly
didn't have a Jay Crowder-level player to give them.
And look, by all accounts, they coveted. It was a guy that Utah really wanted.
And look, I said this on the chat. Like, from what I've heard, just talking to people and understanding, like, Utah wanted Ferguson. I said this on the chat earlier today, whatever day it was I did the chat. I think it was Monday. Utah wanted Ferguson. A lot of teams wanted Ferguson. But to me, Ferguson is not the deal breaker when it comes to these trades, these hypotheticals that were out there for the Thunder to go get a guy. It's always been the peripheral stuff. The Abrines's, the Pattersons, the Feltons, the whatever else the Thunder has to give, the Singlers. Yes, Kyle Singler. They just didn't have the assets to throw in that teams wanted. Utah valued a Jay Crowder more than they valued an Alex Abrines.
Right.
They valued a Jay Crowder at $7 million for the next couple of years per, than an Alex Abrines at 5.9.
Right.
And, look, you can say that that's an indictment of Sam Presti and the roster that he's constructed. I think that's fair. Or you could just say that, you know, Utah has a preference for a certain player that the Thunder just didn't have, and the same thing can go for the Clippers. But you can look at it a couple different ways, but I don't think it should just solely come down to the Thunder didn't want to part with Terrence Ferguson. I think it's more so that the Thunder just didn't have what other teams were looking for.
Yeah,
and they didn't have that just natural first-rounder, not a player, just the idea of a first-rounder that you can throw in as an attachment, which Cleveland happened to have because they had two first-round picks, the Brooklyn pick and their own, and they threw their own pick in for the Lakers deal.
And that's an assumption I think a lot of people have made, and they are making it an error, is that – and it might be right, but we don't know that it's right. This idea that Ferguson was a deal-breaker that would have swung one of these big trades, there is no indication of that.
Yeah.
That they could have just had one of these big pieces had they been willing to include Ferguson. Because, frankly, I don't think that would have stopped them from getting a real big piece. I think they would have moved on if they had felt like their preference was clearly not to trade Ferguson. But if they could have made a great trade that made them a lot better, I think he was haveable. But I don't think there was a great trade out there that included him in it.
And this is just my opinion.
I don't think.
This is just my opinion. I think the Thunder would probably stand to be more urgent about the trade deadline if Andre Robertson's healthy. Because they know that they have a squad as constructed that can actually push. But adding another piece can make it a super push.
Yeah.
Can make it a, you know, let's go win this series. Yeah. Then
was,
maybe you consider making a move where you include a Ferguson, you throw in some other guys, you really try and make that push. But when Robertson goes down, that it's almost – I don't want to say – you never say give up on the season, but it lessens your chances significantly of taking down a Houston or a
Because instead you're at the deadline kind of looking, is there a piece that can replace him? And there's not one that could do it. But I think, too, you know, it's important to note that, like – again, a lot of these guys also just didn't move. Like, Jonathan Simmons would have been a nice thing to get, but they didn't trade him.
Bellinelli didn't get traded.
Right, exactly.
Bellinelli got
And there was interest.
Waived,
there were teams that were interested. Out. Philly was interested in trading for him. In fact, there were reports who ultimately signed him. But, yeah, I mean, like, just some of these pieces didn't move. And I do think I understand people saying, look, you've got Paul George and you don't know what the future holds for Paul George. And you've got Carmelo Anthony who's he's on the decline and we're going to see we'll see what happens with him. And your window's not very big. And I get that idea. But that doesn't make trades be there. It doesn't mean that the trades are there for you. And that's I think what Billy Donovan said in response to your question was basically saying that. Those guys were working very hard at the deadline, and I think the trades weren't there.
Yeah, and, you know, that's still not going to make anybody happy and whatever. You know, if the Thunder's in the Eastern Conference, this thing's a whole lot different, isn't it? It's kind of like everybody early on in the season was like kind of trashing the Western Conference, saying the Eastern Conference is better this year. Yeah. It's like, not really. Yeah. No. No, it's not.
Yeah, Cleveland made a couple trades, and I think they're going to win it again. I think they're going to win the Eastern Conference.
Toronto's got a really good record, and nobody believes in Toronto at all.
Yeah, the Thunder would be right there with in the East. I mean, you'd consider them a threat to win it.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd pick Cleveland, but if the Thunder played the Cavs in a playoff series, they'd have a shot to hang with Cleveland.
Yep.
I think they got a shot to hang with Houston. I don't think they've got any chance to beat Golden State.
If you thought and you look at, and I was talking to Barry about this before you came over, Brett, numbers 6, 7, and 8 in the playoff race in the Western Conference right now, the Thunder is 3-6 against, I think. 3-6. That's New Orleans, Portland, and Denver. They have a win each against all of those teams. Maybe Portland. Do they have a win against Portland? Did they beat Portland here?
No, they've lost two to Portland.
They're 0-2.
Oh, even better. They're
2 and
have they beaten New Orleans?
2-6. They're 2-6 then.
Yeah, I think they
did. They beat New Orleans once.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought they were 0-2 against New Orleans.
I think they beat them once here.
Okay. They beat them in the preseason. I don't
Maybe that's the one I'm counting.
I don't remember.
Anyway, badstatsforme.com. the point is the Thunder has not been good against the 6, 7, and 8 in the Western Conference. If I'm thinking, like, and of course they're not in the Eastern Conference, but if the Thunder's in the Eastern Conference, like, who realistically do you feel like if they got into a 7-game series with, they couldn't either beat or give a run? In the Eastern like, even if they got into a 7-game series with Boston, the way that they played, I'd be like, all right, play ball.
And this, I think, is true of, like, that's probably also true of, like, Portland. You know, like, Portland couldn't beat maybe those elite teams, but you'd feel pretty good about yourself if you were Portland, that you could get to the conference finals if you get moved over there.
I've seen the Thunder screw around with Portland so much that I would be legitimately afraid of them playing Portland in a series.
Oh, sure. I think in the West, they could lose to any team. Absolutely any team. I'm saying if Portland was in the East, Portland could also feel pretty good that they could make a run in the East. I think all these teams that are kind of fighting. Denver's pretty good all of a sudden. You know, put Denver over there, who knows what they do.
Anyway, Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony came back tonight for the first time.
Man,
in
a long time without talking about that.
We had a disagreement about that too.
I didn't think Carmelo Anthony played very well.
I thought he played pretty good for Carmelo.
I don't think he did.
I did not think he played great. He shot okay. I mean, like, you look at his numbers, and it seems like he had an okay game.
10 of 22.
Yeah. I thought he looked a little out of sorts. Some of those shots were bad, and they went in. That's the nature of Carmelo. Sometimes that happens. Defensively, I thought he looked a little lost a couple times.
He had a few. Lost.
Yeah. I mean, he had a few. Even a few offensive plays I thought were kind of just sort of sloppy. It was okay.
He had the best plus-minus on the squad.
Yeah, and Jeremy Grant was a minus 6,000, and he actually played pretty decent. So, this is one of those plus-minus games where you can't really take plus-minus.
Well, the Thunder bench was seriously bad. I mean, that's the thing, that everybody's plus-minus on the bench is probably pretty ugly. Presumably,
I thought Carmelo missed some shots at the rim that he needs to make, and. To me, look, it's one thing if he was missing all of them at the rim, but he had times where he went past LeBron James on the baseline and scored.
Yeah.
But he gets past a guy, I don't even know who it was, hypothetically, J.R. Smith, and he misses because he doesn't use his left hand. He tries to use his right, yeah. and he gets his shot disrupted. Like, just little stuff like that. Or
Carmelo said he felt a little.
Or
not. He said his ankle was fine.
Or to me, like a play that was like the microcosm of the night. Melo blocks a shot attempt by Clarkson at the rim. Makes a great rotation. Blocks a shot at the rim. Westbrook gets the ball. Dribbles up court. Fires a three. Just an awful three in transition.
Oh,
and then Melo falls asleep.
When that ball goes up, Melo and Rodney Hood, was it Rodney Hood?
It was Rodney Hood.
Are level. They're yeah. even on the floor when the ball goes up. And then Rodney Hood is.
And Rodney Hood just sneaks behind him yep. Off of the 3-point miss.
Yep.
And Melo's just.
Somebody
no
throws
man's
a long
lane.
Pass. And
so it was like, hey, you made a good defensive play. Hey, Russell Westbrook erased it by taking a bad
right.
three. Hey, Melo can't get back. Like
right. Yeah, Melo compounds the bad shot by not getting back on defense.
So look, those guys were obviously out of sorts. I think they were. What, like, what was it, 19 of 41 from the field, something like that?
Carmelo and Westbrook together?
Yeah, I think
they were
like
17 of 41.
17 of 41. Obviously, they didn't have their rhythm. I think Russell particularly, his mid-range was not there.
Not at all.
That bank
airballed
that,
one.
That bank shot.
Bank shot was.
Melo airballed one, too.
Yeah. Oh, Melo way short on one. Russ way long on one from the yeah. baseline that went, like, over the rim. Remember that one?
Yeah. But at the same time, you saw flashes. I think once those guys – They might be great tomorrow for all I know. They might come back tomorrow and play great. They'll come back from the break, be fine. I thought, you know, Westbrook didn't get to the paint like he usually does or get to the rim like he usually does. Melo made some tough shots. He made some really tough shots tonight, but he also missed some gimmies. I didn't think it was a great Melo game. Barry begs to differ. I thought his defense was trash.
He's not capable of playing good defense. When's he ever had a good defensive game? He's not going to have a defense.
Like so your
Josh
expectations
Eustace
there.
It's like saying Josh Eustace had a bad offensive game. Well, yeah, no kidding. But I thought Westbrook was clearly the one that was off his game more. He looked out of rhythm.
Yeah.
Westbrook
even to the point where he only had one turnover. And you think, oh, what a great game. But that just shows to me that he wasn't all that assertive
yep.
as usual. Mm-hmm. When he's assertive, he'll have four,
yeah,
three or four,
four
turnovers.
Or five. Yeah.
And guess what? The other team wished would gladly give those turnovers back if he'd just go back outside.
And
the
I'm not gonna like rush to Russell Westbrook's defense. He doesn't need that. He's a good player who had a bad game. He doesn't miss many games. I think Russ is probably a little bit more significant to him. He's just not accustomed to getting out of rhythm in season.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. I mean. And he doesn't miss many games to injury in the past. I mean, since his knee surgery, he's been a pretty healthy dude.
Last couple years, he's missed.
The games he's missed, they've sat him.
Very late in the season for rest. Yeah. Not like in the middle. You know, he's just like – he's just rarely out of a rhythm like that. He gets out of rhythm for different reasons, but not because he's absent. And I do think it probably had some impact.
And they hadn't played in a week.
Right.
I mean, it had been a solid week, and the last time they played, they
played
really
well.
That's
the thing. It's two games, but it's a week.
It's a week. Yeah.
I mean,
it's a week of not doing real things in practice either, and they hadn't practiced. When they did practice, they weren't doing contact.
Yeah,
so
they didn't. This week they had a real practice and a whatever, and the only thing they did was the sort of whatever practice.
Raymond Felton was effective first half, not in the second half. Had a couple of bad turnovers, never really
yeah.
got any offense going to start. Fourth quarter, start of the fourth quarter is really what sort of
yeah, that hurt
the game.
Him.
It's 91-89. Thunder has two straight possessions to tie or take the lead. Don't get either one down. And then the Cavs score four straight possessions and lead yeah. by 11. And it was catch up the rest
and
of the
And this
way.
Is with LeBron off the court.
Yep.
No LeBron.
They had no LeBron on the court for those first, you know, maybe 4 minutes or so. And then he comes back and they got a 10-point lead when he comes back on the floor. And Jeremy Grant hits a free throw.
The thing about that, I was sitting there. I said this to you, Barry, at one point, just watching them play in that stretch in the fourth quarter. Cleveland's lineup there with LeBron off the floor is Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood, Kyle Korver, Jeff Green, and Larry Nance Jr. That's a nice bench. I mean, that's a good 5-man unit to have out there as your second unit.
Yeah, and look, it goes back to the Thunder's bench, their roster construction. You know, part of it is. This team is still constructing after, you know, the Kevin Durant thing You know, they just got left in shambles after Kevin Durant, basically.
Right. And part of it is trading two guys for each of these two guys they have.
Right.
Traded two guys for Paul George. You traded two guys
for
Carmelo Anthony,
Kanter,
and they were all rotation guys.
You lost Enes Kanter, who was automatic points off the bench. Now you got Jeremy Grant as your best post option off the bench. And Jeremy Grant's turned into a decent player, but he's no Enes Kanter. And then, you know, Doug McDermott was a shooter. Didn't do much, but he was still a shooter. Could space it.
That's a threat. You had to guard him.
That's hypothetically Abrinas. And then
now that is a shining light in this loss, is the continued solid play of Grant. His plus minus was not good. That's a mystery. I don't know why somebody can tell me. But he's actually turning into a bench scorer for this team. He had 14 tonight.
Just looking a lot.
And they ran ISO for him. They cleared out for Jeremy Grant several times.
This is three games in a row. Ever since Westbrook and Melo went down, there's three games in a row where they've isolated for Jeremy Grant in the second unit in the post, and they said, all right, go. They've gotten to the point to where they can – and that's remarkable to me, considering how wild Jeremy Grant was when he got here a year ago.
He's not all that tame today.
No, he's still wild.
Big difference, though.
When he gets into – but he's producing.
You could pretty much –
he's the erector set.
Like an erector set is being taken apart – a giant one is being taken apart around us, but – he also, like, that's the other, the control thing is why he's getting so many more fouls. He gets fouled all the time now.
Yeah. And I think he's getting deeper into his moves than he used to, because he was, like, his drive, when he first started his drives, he was just immediately committing that offensive foul.
Yep.
Like, he was getting so much steam built up and committing that offensive foul, like, trying to drive from so far away. But when you get him in that post position, he's deeper now, so he doesn't have to get that running start anymore. And I think that kind of helps to, like, mitigate the offensive fouls. Not to mention, he's turning the freaking Ersan Ilyasova on the defensive end. He's drawing fouls like he's drawing charges like crazy.
The thing I liked about him tonight, there was a sequence in the first half. He made a really good pass. He was posted up on the right side of the lane, and he threw to the left wing to Abrinas for a three. Abrinas missed that, but it was a really good look, and it's a pass Jeremy Grant was not making at the beginning of this season, let alone last season. It was a really good look. And then shortly after that, he made a little dump off to Adams for a dunk. Those are plays. I mean, at the beginning of the year, I kept talking about this, that Jeremy Grant needs to understand that he's allowed to pass.
He's
really added that to his game.
Assists.
Yeah, one of those was to Adams. Would have had one if that Abrinas shot had gone in, and it was really probably the best look Abrinas got, certainly in the first half.
I mean, here's what's interesting to me. I mean, I actually think the Thunder played a pretty good game tonight. I'm not overly discouraged about the direction of their play, the quality of their play. I thought they played a pretty good game tonight. The Cavs just made a lot of shots. Some of that was because they were open. You got to fix that. But the Cavaliers shoot better, 51% to 44%. They have five more baskets. And the difference in assists, all this talk about the great Cav ball movement, which is true, they only had one more assist than the Thunder did, 24-23. Yeah. So I actually thought they played pretty good.
Billy Donovan was happy with their offense and should have been. They scored 112 points on a night where they didn't shoot the ball great. They're a good offensive team, and as he said tonight, they have come a long way offensively. They figured out a lot of stuff. They didn't look great a lot of the time tonight. I thought they looked a little out of sorts, and they still scored 112 points.
Yeah, I just thought the fourth quarter was really where they weren't great. That long stretch – not that long stretch, but that stretch with LeBron out in the fourth quarter was really, really hurt them. And then just turning the ball over too much in the fourth quarter. I think they went into the fourth with five turnovers, and they committed six in the fourth quarter, which can't do that, man.
Well, they had four turnovers in the first 5 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And they went from down two to down 10, and that's effectively the game.
Yeah.
And that was the last one was Westbrook, but that was Felton twice. Patterson got an offensive foul. You know, this was the kind of game where if they could have got the lead and any kind of momentum, they got the lead one time, and they held it for approximately 15 seconds.
In the second half?
Yeah, in the second half.
Or at least, like, hold serve while Melo and Westbrook are out. Like, make it a one-possession game when they come back. Or, you know, have it be a two-possession game when they come back, and instead it's, you know, it's nine.
The problem is, I mean, you know, you get Paul George out there for part of that, but, I mean, you just look at the rest of those guys. For a long time, they didn't even have a shot attempt. They had one shot attempt out of the combination of Abrinas Patterson and Huston. I think they only ended up with the ones that Abrines took. I think he took three shots. I don't know if the other two guys ended up shooting. Patterson that shot that was the offensive foul was the only thing he put up. It obviously did not count as a shot attempt.
Then we played nine guys, which I think is what you're going to see when the games really matter. This is not a game for Terrence Ferguson.
No, you could maybe play him tomorrow in Memphis.
Yeah, but the playoffs. Now, that's the good news. In the playoffs, the benches will shorten, and the teams with the deeper benches won't have the advantage they have in the regular season. And you'll see games where Adams plays 40-something minutes and Westbrook plays close to it and Carmelo plays more than usual and Paul George plays in the 40s. And that'll help. That'll help a lot.
Yeah. You guys have convinced me. It's not as bad of a loss as I thought it was.
Oh, that's Barry. I think it's terrible. No, I don't think it's a terrible loss. But it does make me wonder. I do. It is legitimate to wonder about their bench, but I've wondered about their bench ever since Robertson got hurt.
Well, and here, but what I say is this. Most teams, even some of the good teams, don't have good benches. Houston has a great bench. Cleveland has a great bench. And Golden State, who cares on their bench?
So, you don't even have to have a great bench. Your bench has got to take more than, like, you got to have – if you play three guys who don't shoot at all, that's not – and Abrines, not even a bench guy. Abrines is a starter who didn't shoot. That's
– Yeah, they had three – they played nine guys, and three of them went scoreless.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
Six guys scoring, that's generally what you see in Class 3A basketball. You don't see that at an NBA showdown.
I think you gotta have 2 to 3 guys you can count on. I feel like you can count on Jeremy Grant. For the most part this season, you've been able to count on Raymond Felton.
Yeah.
And the rest has been kind of count
Green
on by committee.
Hit and miss. Houston's hit and miss.
Ferguson.
You didn't get any garbage stuff from Houston, usually. Or not usually. Sometimes you can get some garbage stuff.
Yeah.
But when you got six people score and the other team has six score in double figures, you're behind the eight ball.
All right, friends. What are they gonna do in Memphis in hours?
Well,
because it's a back to back.
Win. Memphis stinks, and I think Russell Westbrook is fairly mad.
I thought they would win tonight and maybe lose in Memphis because I don't know because I've watched them all year. That's kind of what I thought might happen. But I think you know what I think they're a good team going to play a bad team in the last game before the break, and I think advantage good team. Anyway, but certainly advantage heading into a break. I think the good team, you would think, is going to take care of business tomorrow.
Second game back for Westbrook and Melo on the second night of a back-to-back. I don't think it's going to be pretty, but I think they'll win.
Yeah, I'll take the
Let's
Thunder.
Not lose sight of, like, some of those dudes. Memphis is playing a lot of minutes. Yeah. Now, one thing could happen, like, Marc Gasol could care. he could have a great game because he's capable of doing that.
Yeah, I feel like Memphis will play better than they did last time. Though they didn't, Marc Gasol didn't care. They'll be at home. They'll have a little bit more incentive to play better at home.
I wonder if maybe Valentine's Day will produce a bigger or a smaller crowd in Memphis.
You know, they've. I was not there at the game earlier this year, Eric. They've had trouble getting crowds this year. In the recent years, Westbrook has been a big draw there. I know last year when I went down there and stayed with a friend of mine who works in the mayor's office, he was telling me that, you know, the get-in price last year for most games, you could get in the door for $5. When the Thunder came in, it was in the 20s just to get in the door. People care about Westbrook, so I don't know how that factors in now.
I think the crowd was good the last game. It was that overtime game
with
all the missed free throws.
Saturday night, I think.
Yeah. A lot of missed free throws by the Grizz. But, you know, we'll see. Second night of a back-to-back, anything could happen. But it'll also be the Carmelo Anthony and Russell Westbrook might have their bearings a little bit better tomorrow. And we'll see, friends.
Thunder 5-5, I believe, on second nights of back-to-backs now this year.
Something's got to give.
Which is an okay record.
It really is for a team that starts three guys in their late 20s or early 30s. You know, it's like, it's not bad.
All right. That'll do it. I got to get on a plane in, like, hours.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us again on the Thunder Buddies podcast. We went long, but we are going to get out of here before midnight. I'm Eric Horn, here with Brett Dawson and Barry Trammell, and we will see you after Memphis.